L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Good morning, Nashville. You're listening to Morning Drive, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Justin Bradford, Joe Rexroad, Marquise Munson coming to you. And let's do a little bit of a recap of everything in the sports world. So I'm just going to kind of rush through some things, and we'll discuss. So Kevin Harvick won back-to-back at Michigan. That was big in the NASCAR news. Ronald Acuna, three homers in one day in two games for the Braves. Luka Doncic had triple-double, another one, because he's just a phenomenal kid. On Saturday, Colin Morikawa won the PGA Championship in stunning fashion, coming right down to the wire. And then the Columbus Blue Jackets, big-time win over the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I'm sure couch burning happened in downtown Toronto. Well, how about that?
Oh, that's a good way to rip through that. Damian Lillard had 51 last night too. It was flipping back to that while watching Columbus Toronto,
mm-hmm.
and then also watching Twitter burn. All at the same time.
Oh, Twitter night, burning so. And Grizzlies. Want to get an NBA update? We're going to throw it over to Marquise Munson to give an NBA update, because it just the Grizz struggle busing a little bit, and their lives are on the line when it comes to the playoffs.
Yeah, it looks like it, especially when you have the Suns winning games, you have the Spurs, the Blazers. If the Blazers would have got that victory against the Clippers, they would probably be the 8th seed right now. So it's a good thing for the Grizzlies' sake that Damian Lillard missed those two free throws, and it also led to some very Twitter spats that I love. I love petty NBA.
And then Dame responded.
NBA. Yeah, and Dame, look, and I knew it too, because I was watching it on my phone because I was out and about, and I was like, oh man, here we go. Damian Lillard is mad. He's probably going to score like 50, and I said that to myself. And sure enough, he scored 50. He scored a 50-piece and a biscuit yesterday, and that was pretty good.
Two of them off a teammate's face. Or was it a defender?
Two of
whose
them.
Whose face was that? It bounced. He was trying to pass back, bounced off a guy's face out the backboard.
And then it's funny because, like, NBA tweeted out a picture with a graphic, and if you look at the picture, it looks like Damian Lillard is looking at Paul George as he's taking this picture. He's just like – he has a skull look on his face. Like, yeah, that's what you get. But now – with the Grizzlies' loss yesterday, once again, as they have so often done in this bubble, Pelicans lost, by the way. They're out. Pelicans and Kings are officially out of playoff contention.
So disappointing.
Yes, yeah, unfortunately. But, you know, I know the NBA wanted that Zion LeBron first-round money, but
I wanted Zion Ja in a play-in.
I did, too.
But that's before Jaren Jackson got hurt. Do we want – all due respect to the Grizz and Ja, do we want them to be in this? Because I just think they're so diminished without Jaren Jackson.
Yeah, they are. And it's not even just – it's Jaren Jackson, it's Ty Jones, it's a bunch of players that they're missing out, and you're relying on Anthony Tolliver to fill in the gap that you're missing for Jaren Jackson, which is not going to happen because Anthony Tolliver is a role player. And that's where he needs to be as a role player. So with that loss with the Grizzlies against the Raptors, now the Blazers are one game behind the Grizzlies. Also, the Spurs are one game behind. And the Suns, who play tonight against the Oklahoma City Thunder, they're in a game and a half. So they can be a half a game back from the Grizzlies if they win tonight against the Thunder. So, and you're looking at a race now where you look at the Grizzlies' next two games, it's against the Celtics and the Bucks. And when you look at the rest of the league, when you look at the Blazers, they have the Mavs and the Nets. So a little bit more manageable for them. When you look at the Spurs, they got the Rockets and Jazz, depending on if the Rockets are going to play Harden and Westbrook. I'm pretty sure the Jazz will probably sit out Rudy Gobert, maybe Donovan Mitchell. So Spurs got a chance. And then you got the Suns, who have a injured 76ers team. Joel Embiid, you know, got hurt, so we'll see what his status is. And then also the Mavs, the last game of the season, may sit out Luka. So the Suns got a perfect chance at that, especially if they win tonight. So, look, the Grizzlies have to win one of these games, whether it's the Celtics or the Bucks. to at least stay in that 8-seed trajectory, they're going to have to play a play-in tournament regardless of what happens.
If they get it. If they get that.
Yeah.
If they get that. So, but they have to win one of these games to maintain that 8-seed.
But Giannis might sit.
Giannis, I think Giannis, either he's going to sit or he's going to be on a minutes restriction. Because there was a couple games this year, well, within the bubble, that he played like the first half of the game and then sat out the whole second half. So they may do a situation to where that's going to happen. And for the Grizzlies' sake, you hope that happens, that Giannis sits out. Maybe Chris Middleton also sits out as well. And then you got to play, you know, George Hill, who missed a wide-open three to in regulation and could have won them the game. So, you know, that's where you're looking at if you're the Grizzlies. And if you're the Celtics, like Celtics have been playing full speed ahead, all man's on deck. I think Kemba missed a couple games, but that's about it. As far as, like, Jason Tatum's been playing, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, all those guys have been playing, and they've been playing well. So that's going to be a tough game for the Grizzlies because the Celtics are big, and the Grizzlies don't have size right now. So that's going to affect them a lot. So they got to win one.
So, Marquise, what's your prediction then for that play-in? What two teams are going to be in it?
I'm going to stick with my guns because I always said that the Blazers were going to be the 8 seed. And when you have Damian Lillard, who is on a mission right now, especially after Paul George said what he said and Patrick Beverley saying they're going to get sent home early, I think Dame's on a mission right now. And the way Carmelo Anthony's been playing, Yusuf Nurkic has been the second best player in the bubble for the Blazers outside of CJ McCollum. So I look at Blazers Grizzlies still. I think Grizzlies get one of these games. It may not be against the Celtics, because I think the Celtics are just – they're going to play all man on deck and they're going to play their full roster. But I think they can beat the Bucks, especially if the Bucks sit out some players. So I would love it to come to the last game to where it's like they have to beat the Bucks in order to stay alive and that be the game that's going to be a must-watch for everybody. But I'm still – although I love what the Suns are doing, they're undefeated. They probably, out of everybody, have the easiest schedule amongst the four teams. I'm going to stick with my guns, and I'm going to go Blazers, Grizzlies, and then I'm going to go Grizzlies beating the Blazers. Because all they need is one.
Well, right. If they're ahead of them, but well, they could still be, they could be behind them.
They could be behind
them,
yeah.
Right? So, yeah, that's, for people who don't know the plan, it's kind of weird, but the 9 has to beat the 8 twice. So the 8 just has to get one win over the 9.
And it's done.
Yeah.
So Marquise, what are your thoughts on that, the play-in like that where they have to win 2 in a row? Is this something you potentially see happening in the future to keep in? Because there's people in the NHL saying, we should do play-in for the 8-9 in the NHL. Do you think this kind of thing, if it goes well, could stay?
Yeah. See, but here's the thing with that. Now, it works well when you play in the Western Conference because you have teams that are kind of in that trajectory to get that 8 seed. But when you look at the East is so 6-team driven where the 7 and the 8 seed are usually below 500. So, like, I really, in the East, if you got to do it, you're going to have to do it for both sides anyway. And I don't want to see two teams under 500 playing in a play-in tournament to get, you know, beat in the first round by the Celtics or the Bucks or whoever's the 8 or the 1 seed at the time. So it works in the West because it's so dominant and you have at least 10 teams who are usually potential playoff teams. But I don't want that to be in the East when there's like teams under 500. Unless they do it to where it's like, look, when we do the play-in tournament, we're not going to do conferences. We're going to do best two records or whatever. Best two records. Best two 9-seed, 10-seed records. You know, one will go to the East, one will go to West, and then you play that play-in tournament, which is fine, but then that messes up the Western Conference.
Yeah, you'd have to make it all just seeding, right?
Yeah, you have to make it all just seeding at that point. And if it was that, then that would be perfectly fine. But I don't see it working. I would love it because it makes great basketball, especially like we saw with the NCAA tournament when we watched those play-in games. Like, those are really good games, you know, and we see the same thing with Major League Baseball when they have, you know, the wild card matches ups as well. So, you know, it makes for more, more anticipation for the playoffs. So I like the idea, but you have to do it both sides. And I don't want to see the Magic versus the Wizards in a play-in game. So I don't want to see that every year. So, yeah, I don't think it'll work out.
All right. Very fair, very fair. And also want to touch on this, too. Nashville SC, the news broke. They're finally coming back And, of course, who are they going to come back against? Dallas.
Very fitting.
Very, very fitting. Two games coming up, you know, one this week, Wednesday, August 12th, 7:30. That's against Dallas in Dallas. And, hey, the game's going to be simulcast on 94.9 Game 2 and here on 102.5 The Game. And then Sunday, August 16th, also at 7:30, against Dallas in Dallas, broadcast here on 94.9 Game 2 and 102.5 The Game. So you can listen to both of those games. You can also watch them as well, but we really want you to listen to those games. But it's exciting to have Nashville SC finally back and playing, and they have a full schedule out there too. Apparently playing back here in Nashville August 30th. So glad to have that back.
Well, yeah, and it fills a void. Obviously, you have a big opportunity lost when you are sent home from Orlando, and these television opportunities to be the only Nashville sports team playing. Predators lost now, so you have the stage to yourself here. There's no Titans preseason games. You know, this is a very rare and unique opportunity for Nashville SC to just – have people listening, watching, talking about them, until the NFL gets started. So,
what a rare and unique time we live in, too. Their inaugural season only played two games. That was back on February 29th and March 8th.
Mm. It feels like way longer than that ago.
Yeah.
But, yeah, a very challenging debut season. But good for them to get it going again.
Absolutely. So excited to see them return to the field. Okay, up next, we've been talking about college football, talking obviously NHL, NFL, everything, but high school sports getting ready to start as kids are going back to school. It means high school sports are coming up, and obviously plenty of situation going on there with the pandemic too. So up next, we have Matthew Gillespie. He is the assistant executive director of the TSSAA, coming to talk high school sports here in Tennessee on Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And welcome back to Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Justin Bradford, Joe Rexroad, Marquise Munson. Switching gears here, let's talk high school sports, especially with all the kids returning back to school and those high school sports getting ready to kick off. We have the assistant executive director of the TSSAA, Matthew Gillespie, joining us right now. Thanks, Matthew, for taking the time to speak with us.
No, thanks for having me, guys. Happy to do it.
Absolutely. So let's look into this. I mean, there's so many questions that have come up, and I know you all been dealing with this now for many, many months. Overall, looking at the safety of high school sports, just the stance of the TSSAA to approve this to go on and what the safety measures are that everyone is looking at to make sure these sports are going to take place safely.
Yeah, I think it's obviously something a lot of people are a little hesitant about. There's so much unknown out there, and as everybody's known over the past few months, this thing changes not only on a monthly or weekly basis, but a daily basis, and there's so much that that is unknown. But we tried to put together a list of requirements or protocols in place to first and foremost goal is to keep the student athlete safe and healthy, and by doing that we started with the steps that are in place, but it also expands to the coaches, to the fans in attendance. And we all know what this thing can do and how quickly it can spread, and it's going to be difficult to control. But I think with everything in place, whether it's from temperature checks and that's everybody. So, your listeners out there should know if they're going to a high school game, whether it's football or volleyball or whatever it is, everybody's going to be required to have a temperature check. Everybody's going to be required to wear a mask at the event. And that's just, the start of it. There's a lot of other protocols in place, but it's all for the safety and to help. If everybody will do their part, we can keep this thing going, hopefully. Now, I sit here and say that, in 3 weeks we could be talking about something different, but we just don't know. But that's what we need to do to give us a chance to keep it going throughout the year.
No, absolutely, and good points being made about just being aware of things changing, because it absolutely will change. And so what's the communication been like? Because obviously with high school sports, it affects thousands of families in this state, and that's why we wanted to bring you on, because so many people are affected by this that have their students, athletes participating in these sports too. So what's the communication been like with a lot of these coaches and school administrators, and just how often are you talking to just make sure you're getting feedback from them as well?
It's constant. We go back to, unfortunately, when it all started with the shutdown of our girls' state basketball tournament, and then the eventual cancellation of the boys. And then, of course, we all know what happened with spring sports as well. So it's been going from then. And, of course, as we mentioned earlier, it's just been so fluid, all the changes as we go along. And, you know, at that time we were worried about basketball and spring sports, and little did we know how it would affect the fall. And here we are in the fall and having to plan and make the adjustments for that. So it's been an ongoing discussion with, you know, all of our coaches and administrators across the state of 450 plus schools. We've worked closely with the governor's office and working on getting these protocols in place and having, you know, the ability to get high school sports exempt from the state of emergency order that was in place that would have certainly affected the dates of football. Right now, we're a go for the normal schedule. There are some school systems, certainly Metro Nashville, that are going to be delayed and getting going. And we've got plans in place for that. When you do miss 2 weeks of football or whatever it may be, how do you adjust to that and things like that? So it's, you know, it's just ongoing discussion with our board of control. And we've got another board meeting coming up in August to do some normal business as well. But I'm sure this will be a continued discussion there too.
Matthew, we've talked a lot today about college football and, you know, college football players really speaking out, especially, you know, in the last 12 hours or so, really about this idea that college football may be on the verge of being canceled. Just wondering from your perspective, obviously a lot of dialogue with coaches, but what kinds of things did you guys hear from families, from parents, from kids who want to play this fall as you went through this process of trying to put this together?
Yeah, I think the majority of it that we've heard, certainly there's been some people who are, you know, not big on the idea and feel like we should take more precautions or shut everything down. But then the majority of response we've got is just thank you for giving us a chance. Thanks for putting this stuff in place and letting us, you know, at this point, at least not lose our season, especially those seniors. I mean, you saw the outcry from people that lost their senior season in baseball or softball, and rightfully so. But I think most people are genuinely just happy that we've got a chance to get the kids out there on the field. It's not going to look the same. We're not going to, you know, see the pep bands in the stands like we're used to. I mean, they're going to be there, but just not in the same light we're used to seeing them. And crowds are going to look different and things like that. But I think people are just happy for the opportunity. And again, it does, you know, we just want to provide the opportunity. If someone's extremely concerned about it, I mean, this is just providing the chance for them to do it. They don't have to do it. There's going to be people out there that make the choice of, look, my child is not going to go on the field. He's not going to continue with this sport this season because we are more concerned about our health and don't want to take that risk. And you certainly understand and appreciate that viewpoint. But yeah, I think the majority are just pleased that at this point they've got a chance to do it. Again, we know how it changes, and hopefully we won't be having a different conversation in a few weeks or a few months, but we know that's a reality as well.
And so looking forward to, again, wanting to make sure that people understand what's going to be different to reinforce the idea that it's going to be different when they're going to these events. Are there restrictions in terms of percentage of attendance that can be there? Is just wide open? Is it one of those things by school district in terms of what's going to be available there? I mean, you said temperature checks and masks. What else can people expect if they're going to any of these events?
Yeah, what some of the regulations our board passed back in July is that, and this goes for not just football games, it goes for the basketball gym, it goes for whatever event you're going to, a very strong recommendation that they limit their capacity to one quarter to one third of whatever their normal capacity would be. So if it's a football stadium that seats 6,000, you know, you want to see no more than 2,000 in there. How those schools go about doing that is up to them. I think you're going to see a lot of schools. I've heard a lot of discussion of trying to go to limit or completely remove, you know, money exchange for tickets. So a lot of people are looking at the digital only ticket, which a lot of fans use, something that we use at our tournaments called GoFan. But, you know, they can use anything they want. And so I, you know, if you're going to an event, maybe check that out in advance. Is, you know, can I walk up to the ticket booth and buy a paper ticket with, you know, $20 in hand or however many tickets I need? Or is that something I've got to get in advance and walk up and show my phone that, you know, and so many people are used to that when they go to college events and pro events now, certainly in the Nashville area. But somebody may not have done that, and so that may be something new to them. So I think, and that'll be an easy way for schools to track that, hey, we got to limit this to 2,000 tickets sold or whatever that number is. I think that's why a lot of them are looking at that, so they'll know that, you know, this is what was sold. Some you're still going to be able to buy the ticket, but that's something different I think I'd look for going into it. Certainly you'll see a lot of things that you've been used to seeing, whether it's on TV with NBA basketball or baseball. You're not going to see a pregame handshake and post-game celebration and things like that. So it's going to be a different look and feel, but I think the important thing is we're trying our best to get the kids out on the field and on the court to be able to participate in these events.
And before we have to let you go, just an article came out on the TSSAA site just about mental well-being of the students and a cause for concern about that. We spoke a little bit about this with college athletes. Just what are some of the things coming into place for making sure the mental well-being is there for these kids if, for instance, they do have to put something on pause, or just dealing with this in general, because this is obviously a major stress on not just the student athletes but their families in general. So just what are some of those steps in terms of the mental well-being?
Yeah, I think that's I appreciate you bringing that up. It is something we've seen before this pandemic hit. There's been so many studies out there that know the positive effects on students in participation in athletics or any other extracurricular activity, as far as, you know, the improvement or, you know, positive way they go about with academics and just life in general. It does have a positive effect to be involved in something. And what was troubling to us is after the pandemic hit, of course, you know, kids are upset, they miss their season, things like that. But there's been some studies out there have shown it's not only obviously the lack of participation could affect them physically if they're not out there doing anything else on their own, but the mental aspect of it and how it's affected them, and whether it's a form of depression or whatever it may be, those numbers are extremely high. So I think just participation in athletics not only helps you physically, but it's been shown the mental effect on students to be out there, or the lack of being out there has really affected them. So I think it obviously there's a lot of positives that come out of athletic participation, and that's what we're trying to create, is just that opportunity for them to get back out there that'll help them not only physically but mentally as well.
Well, Matthew, we certainly appreciate your time and insight into what's going on here, because it affects so many people just across the state. So definitely appreciate you joining us this morning.
Guys, thank you so much for having me. Appreciate all you do.
Absolutely, Matthew. Folks. Matthew Gillespie, the Assistant Executive Director of the TSSAA, just in high school sports, returning as soon as this weekend, I believe, that high school sports are getting up and going. I know soccer, football, everything of that sort. So Joe, looking at this, it's very relative to what we're seeing in the college football conversation, just in a different scope of things, because how many school districts we have in the state, just in Middle Tennessee, like you even mentioned Nashville being under different restrictions compared to the rest of the state. I mean, it's a challenge. No matter what side we're on with this, it is a challenge, and difficult decisions are being made.
No doubt. No doubt about it. And look, I've had this discussion with people, in fact, with my wife last night, with college football happening, you know, the idea of, so Why would college football not happen, but high school football would, or, you know, pro football would? And again, this is where, you know, college football is just in a unique situation where, again, it's sort of like professional sports with laborers on campus that aren't really laborers, and there's liability. It's a totally different thing than, you know, high school sports. As Matthew said, obviously, if you have any concerns at all, you don't play, but providing it, I think there are a lot of benefits to this, and I think there's certainly risk, and you know, hopefully these protocols are in place, and hopefully society at large helps, contributes to this in a positive way, not in a negative way like we've seen in the last couple of months. But a lot of these kids, you know, this is what they work for years. And you think about seniors this fall having opportunity, I think it's worth giving them that opportunity.
It is, and that's why I brought up the mental health situation right there, too.
Yes.
For the sake of their well-being overall, and just, yes, follow those regulations your school systems are putting in place. If you want these things to happen, you got to follow those rules. I mean, that's what it comes down to. If you want your kids to be able to play, you want to go support your friends, please follow those rules, and you can have sports. We can make sports happen safely if we just do the right things. That's what it comes down to.
True.
Okay, up next, Darren McFarland is going to join us, the host of Darren, Donick, and Chase. Here up next, Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Justin Bradford, Joe Rexroad, Marquise Munson behind the glass for us. And now let's bring on Darren McFarland, the host of Darren, Donick, and Chase, who are here later today. Darren, how are you, buddy?
Gosh, Marquise knows how to get me up in the morning. Who needs coffee when you've got music like that?
Joe needs it. He's already refilled once.
Oh, wow.
Wait, was that docking? What was that?
Hello? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little docking. Back for the attack.
Joe. Look at you, Joe.
Under lock and key, baby.
Man, that's impressive. You're not just one genre. No, you got it, man.
It's too bad I cut my mullet off yesterday, too, because that would be even more perfect.
Darren, after Friday and what we had to witiss Friday.
Oh, we have to talk about that, don't we?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, unfortunately. So your thoughts overall, just in terms of the up and down emotional roller coaster that happened on Friday afternoon.
Disappointing. I mean, I don't know how a Predators fan couldn't be disappointed, right? I mean, but I guess the rebuttal that nobody wants to hear is going to be, look around the league. I mean, did a favorite win? I mean, did I miss the memo? I mean, why? It was like upsets galore. We knew it was going to be crazy, right? It was going to be so unpredictable. It was something nobody's ever seen in their lifetime. And these teams all showed up to a hub city, and they walked to and from the arena back to their team hotel, and they didn't travel, and they didn't have rowdy fans in the stands, and they'd been off for 4+ months, and guess what? It played out. It was like an NCAA tournament, and people are already throwing their hockey brackets in the trash can. I mean, it's hard to predict, and if you would have asked me, even with all that being said, we knew it was going to be crazy and knew it was going to be the unknown, expect the unknown, I would have never told you in the end the Predators would have lost. I predicted the Predators to win in 5. I knew it wasn't going to be easy. I figured it would go the distance. But in the end, I don't think you could have convinced me, you know, top to bottom, when you think about what the Predators have on their roster and what the Coyotes have on their roster, that eventually the Predators would figure out a way to get it done, even with all the stuff that I just brought up before. But didn't play out that way, and unfortunately they ran into what we've talked about for years, what everybody says, what do you need in the hockey playoffs, what do you need in postseason play, and you can ride that wave for a good while. What? A hot goaltender, and Arizona found it in Darcy Kuemper, and he was just really good. I thought UC Saros, if I were giving out grades, was a B, and you know, if I were in school, when I was in school, I'd throw parties, and I would invite you guys to come over and celebrate my B on a report card. But unfortunately, a B wasn't good enough because Darcy Kuemper got an A, and he was just better, and the Coyotes prevailed. So I guess those are my thoughts reflecting back on. I was trying to delete Friday, and then we had to go right back there again.
Yeah, my apologies. And I'm going to ask you another difficult question that people keep talking about on social media. Should Pecorini have played at all in the series?
You know, I mean, we'll never know if that changes anything. I'm not surprised. If you're asking me, Justin, if I was surprised, Joe knows. I came on here this time last Monday and said, for everybody thinking that this is going to be a split with Pekka and Jussi in games 2 and 3, by the way, I apologize for my voice. I did a lot of yelling at baseball games this weekend, so I'm a little raspy.
Congratulations, by the way.
That's a good way to lose some voice, though.
You're right. You're right. I told Marquise, I was like, I can barely walk. I feel like I'm 85 years old. I barely have a voice, but you know what? If this is what it takes to get it done, then I'll do this every Monday. I'm okay with that every Monday. But, you know, and maybe I was doing some yelling on Friday too, just before going into the weekend. You know, I don't know if it changes anything, but Joe knows. I said, look, it's very clear that John Hines has identified UC Saros as his guy. And we were all three of us were there for training camp. And John Hines said, we had him on the show, and he said that he was putting big-time stock into, you know, he didn't give a percentage, but he was putting stock into how everybody looked in training camp. That's what they were going off of. And I don't know about you guys, but, I mean, I felt like if we were being honest, UC Saros was the better goaltender in training camp. Now it was practices and scrimmages, but that's what it was. And if that's what they were going off of, my eyes told me that UC Saros was the better goaltender. And as we saw when John Hines took over, 21 of his, 27 games he coached before the pause, 15 of the last 21 were UC Soros in net. So it just seemed like to me John Hines was more comfortable with the younger goaltender. But we'll never know. I don't think UC Soros or Peck, I don't think that is the reason that they lost.
I would agree, Darren. It's not the reason they lost. I would ask you, as we inevitably push things forward here, if you believe UC Soros can be a goaltender who allows a team to make deep runs, who steals games, steals series, plays at that level that we certainly saw Pekka reach multiple times in his career.
Do I believe that? Sure, absolutely. Like I said, UC Soros wasn't the reason they lost. He was good. He wasn't great. And like I said, Bs, I would have celebrated. I gave him a B for the series. To me, there's nothing wrong with a B, but it was going to take more than a B effort to win the series, especially the way Arizona plays. They're a stingy team. You're not going to hang six on them and give UC Soros a big cushion. And so B wasn't good enough. Darcy Kuemper faced a ton of shots. A ton. What did they have on Friday? 52? Is that right? 52? Off the top of my head, 49 saves? He had 42 saves in game one. What, 40 or 39 in the game four win? I mean, that's what it was going to take. And obviously UC Soros did not put in that effort. Do I think that he can do that, Joe? Yeah, I do. We've seen it. He's still very, very young in his career. He's got a long ways to go. I mean, he's just starting out. Pekka didn't have immediate success. I mean, remember, he's played in 89 postseason games. He's had 89 consecutive postseason starts that all came to an end before this series. So do I think he can be the guy? Yeah, we've already seen that. But obviously he didn't do it on his first go-around, and I suspect, you know, John Hines is coming back, and so I suspect probably UC Soros will be his guy moving forward, and Pekka will serve as the backup.
So, Darren,
he'll have more opportunities. So we'll see. I mean, that's the best I can say is that as of right now, we won't, you know, we don't know. But do I think he will? It can? Yeah, absolutely.
So, Darren, switching gears before we have to let you go here, just coming out a tweet from Dan Patrick's show that 12 of the 14 presidents from the Big Ten have voted against having a fall college football season. Iowa and Nebraska were the two that have been pushing to play. Obviously, a lot of this news breaking, it seems, as we go with college football, but especially with the SEC just releasing their added two-game schedule and then the MAC and what happens with the Big Ten, and now saying the Big Ten and the Pac-12 will cancel their football seasons tomorrow. Just your take on this whole situation going on right now.
Oof, man, that's a lot to digest. That's a lot to still take in as we're all doing this together. It has been a rocky roller coaster ride for college football this weekend. You know, you would say, a lot of people would say, if I say it saddens me to hear this, say, well, you're selfish, you know, sports guy, you know, there's a bigger picture than you being selfish when you're college football. But if people have been listening to the show, I mean, for 5 months I've been saying you don't want to have no college football this fall. You're not going to want to see what it's going to look like on the other side. You're not going to like it on the other side. And I don't like the fact that these kids, you know, I don't love – look, I have an 8-year-old. I know, Joe, look, you kids and routine. Kids, they need routine, and I think they need to be in school. That's just me. I understand. There's a big picture. There's a pandemic, and safety is first and foremost, and I get all that. But I don't like – I've seen the effect. I coach 8-year-olds. I have an 8-year-old, and I've seen the effect on them. And I think they need structure and they need to be in a routine. And I don't think not having school, and in this case, not having college football, all the work those people have put in, all the work they've put in to have that wiped out. And I've already seen how it's affected, you know, kids this past spring that had everything wiped out. It's tough. And I hate it. And I don't want to know what the other side is going to look like for college athletics. It's going to scare the crap out of me. And I know I have a lot of friends that their kids are in college playing sports, and most of my friends that are in college, their kids are in college playing sports, They're not. It's not college football, and it's not college basketball. In other words, I fear all the other sports, and that's all the sports they're in, they're playing. And I wonder if they'll have a sport to come back to. And so, you know, I don't know. It makes me sad. I don't know where this is going. I don't know how you guys are going to feel about it. I know you're going to talk about it, but I hate that if there's no college football this fall. I understand it's going to be tricky and dicey. Baseball's had tons of problems. I don't know what the NFL is going to do. We'll find that out too. But it saddens me to hear that.
It absolutely does. And I mean, that was literally breaking news. I read that tweet just as you were answering the question. So I wanted to, it felt it was timely to bring it up because we're seeing more and more information break just as the day goes on from last night into today. So it is a tough situation. And we're just talking about all aspects of college football and what it could just mean for the country, what it means for these kids, what it means for the economy as well. So many different aspects of it. So we appreciate your thoughts on that, Darren.
Yep. And all those college towns. How about that? You know, I mean,
a lot of businesses in trouble.
Lots of businesses in trouble. That's right.
Well, Darren, I'm sure you're going to have more thoughts to share coming up this later this morning on Darren Donick and Chase. I'm sure, right?
No doubt about it. 4 hours. We'll try to keep it upbeat, but some of this is a little depressing, but we'll keep it on the rails starting at 10 o'clock.
There you go, folks. Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donick and Chase. Coming up very soon, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. here on 102.5 The Game. So up next, we're going to talk more about what's going on, especially that breaking news that just happened out of the Big Ten, and more here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Justin Bradford, Joe Rexrode, Marquise Munson behind the glass for us. And now let's bring on Darren McFarland, the host of Darren, Donick, and Chase, who you hear later today. Darren, how are you, buddy?
Gosh, Marquise knows how to get me up in the morning. Who needs coffee when you've got music like that?
Joe needs it. He's already refilled once.
Oh, wow.
Wait, was that docking? What was that?
Hello? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little docking. Back for the attack.
Joe. Look at you, Joe.
Under lock and key, baby.
Man, that's impressive. You're not just one genre. No, you got it, man.
It's too bad I cut my mullet off yesterday, too, because that would be even more perfect.
Darren, after Friday and what we had to witness Friday.
Oh, we have to talk about that, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately. So your thoughts overall, just in terms of the up and down emotional roller coaster that happened on Friday afternoon?
Disappointing. I mean, I don't know how a Predators fan couldn't be disappointed, right? I mean, but I guess the rebuttal that nobody wants to hear is going to be, look around the league. I mean, did a favorite win? I mean, did I miss the memo? I mean, why? It was like upsets galore. We knew it was going to be crazy, right? It was going to be so unpredictable. It was something nobody's ever seen in their lifetime. And these teams all showed up to a hub city and they walked to and from the arena back to their team hotel, and they didn't travel, and they didn't have rowdy fans in the stands, and they'd been off for 4+ months, and guess what? It played out. It was like an NCAA tournament, and people are already throwing their hockey brackets in the trash can. I mean, it's hard to predict, and if you would have asked me, even with all that being said, we knew it was going to be crazy and knew it was going to be the unknown, expect the unknown, I would have never told you in the end the Predators would have lost. I predicted the Predators to win in 5. I knew it wasn't going to be easy. I figured it would go the distance. But in the end, I don't think you could have convinced me, you know, top to bottom, when you think about what the Predators have on their roster and what the Coyotes have on their roster, that eventually the Predators would figure out a way to get it done, even with all the stuff that I just brought up before. But didn't play out that way, and unfortunately they ran into what we've talked about for years, what everybody says, what do you need in the hockey playoffs, what do you need in postseason play, and you can ride that wave for a good while. What? A hot goaltender, and Arizona found it in Darcy Kuemper, and he was just really good. I thought UC Saros, if I were giving out grades, was a B, and you know, if I were in school, when I was in school, I'd throw parties, and I would invite you guys to come over and celebrate my B on a report card. But unfortunately, a B wasn't good enough because Darcy Kuemper got an A, and he was just better, and the Coyotes prevailed. So I guess those are my my thoughts reflecting back on. I was trying to delete Friday, and then we had to go right back there again.
Yeah, my apologies. And I'm going to ask you another difficult question that people keep talking about in social media. Should Pecorini have played at all in the series?
You know, I mean, we'll never know if that changes anything. I'm not surprised. If you're asking me, Justin, if I was surprised, Joe knows. I came on here this time last Monday and said, for everybody thinking that this is going to be a split with Pekka and Yusi in games 2 and 3, by the way, I apologize for my voice. I did a lot of yelling at baseball games this weekend, so I'm a little raspy.
Congratulations, by the way.
That's a good way to lose some voice, though.
You're right. You're right. I told Marquise, I was like, I can barely walk. I feel like I'm 85 years old. I barely have a voice. But you know what? If this is what it takes to get it done, then I'll do this every Monday. I'm okay with that every Monday. But, you know, and maybe I was doing some yelling on Friday, too, just before going into the weekend. You know, I don't know if it changes anything, but Joe knows. I said, look, it's very clear that John Hines has identified Yusi Saros as his guy. And we were all three of us were there for training camp. And John Hines said, we had him on the show, and he said that he was putting big-time stock into, you know, he didn't give a percentage, but he was putting stock into how everybody looked in training camp. That's what they were going off of. And I don't know about you guys, but, I mean, I felt like if we were being honest, Yusi Saros was the better goaltender in training camp. Now it was practices and scrimmages, but that's what it was. And if that's what they were going off of, my eyes told me that Yusi Saros was the better goaltender. And as we saw when John Hines took over, 21 of his, what was it, 27 games he coached before the pause, 15 of the last 21 were Yusi Saros in net. So it just seemed like to me John Hines was more comfortable with the younger goaltender. But we'll never know. I don't think Yusi Saros or Peck, I don't think that is the reason that they lost.
I would agree, Darren. It's not the reason they lost. I would ask you, as we inevitably push things forward here, if you believe Yusi Saros can be a goaltender who allows a team to make deep runs, who steals games, steals series, plays at that level that we certainly saw Pecorine reach multiple times in his career.
Do I believe that? Sure, absolutely. Like I said, Yusi Saros wasn't the reason they lost. He was good. He wasn't great. And like I said, Bs, I would have celebrated. I gave him a B for the series. To me, there's nothing wrong with a B. But it was going to take more than a B effort to win the series, especially the way Arizona plays. They're a stingy team. You're not going to hang six on them and give Yusi Saros a big cushion. And so B wasn't good enough. Darcy Kuemper faced a ton of shots. A ton. What did they have on Friday? 52? Is that right? 52? Off the top of my head, 49 saves? He had 42 saves in game one. What, 40 or 39 in the game four win? I mean, that's what it was going to take. And obviously, Yusi Saros did not put in that effort. Do I think that he can do that, Joe? Yeah, I do. We've seen it. He's still very, very young in his career. He's got a long ways to go. I mean, he's just starting out. Pecorine didn't have immediate success. I mean, remember, he's played in 89 postseason games. He's had 89 consecutive postseason starts that all came to an end before this series. So do I think he can be the guy? Yeah, we've already seen that. But obviously he didn't do it on his first go-around, and I suspect, you know, John Hines is coming back, and so I suspect probably Yusi Saros will be his guy moving forward, and Pekka will serve as the backup.
So, Darren,
he'll have more opportunities, so we'll see. I mean, that's the best I can say is that as of right now, we won't, you know, we don't know, but do I think he will? It can? Yeah, absolutely.
So Darren, switching gears before we have to let you go here, just coming out a tweet from Dan Patrick's show that 12 of the 14 presidents from the Big Ten have voted against having a fall college football season. Iowa and Nebraska were the two that have been pushing to play. Obviously, a lot of this news breaking, it seems, as we go with college football, but especially with the SEC just releasing their added two-game schedule and then the MAC and what happens with the Big Ten, and now saying the Big Ten and the Pac-12 will cancel their football seasons tomorrow. Just your take on this whole situation going on right now.
Ooh, man. That's a lot to digest. That's a lot to still take in as we're all doing this together. It has been a rocky roller coaster ride for college football this weekend. You know, it's you would say, a lot of people would say, if I say it saddens me to hear this, say, well, you're selfish, you know, sports guy. You know, there's a bigger picture than you being selfish when you're college football. But there's so it's such – I mean, if people have been listening to the show, I mean, for 5 months I've been saying you don't want to have no college football this fall. You're not going to want to see what it's going to look like on the other side. You're not going to like it on the other side. And I don't like the fact that these kids – you know, I don't love – look, I have an 8-year-old. I know, Joe, I know – look, you kids and routine. Kids, they need routine, and I think they need to be in school. That's just me. I understand. There's a big picture. There's a pandemic, and safety is first and foremost, and I get all that. But I don't like – I've seen the effect. I coach 8-year-olds. I have an 8-year-old, and I've seen the effect on them, and I – think they need structure and they need to be in a routine, and I don't think not having school, and in this case not having college football, all the work those people have put in, all the work they've put in to have that wiped out, and I've already seen how it's affected, you know, kids this past spring that had everything wiped out. It's tough, and I hate it, and I don't want to know what the other side is going to look like for college athletics. It's going to scare the crap out of me. And I know I have a lot of friends that their kids are in college playing sports, and most of my friends that are in college, their kids are in college playing sports. It's not college football and it's not college basketball. In other words, I fear all the other sports, and that's all the sports they're in, they're playing, and I wonder if they'll have a sport to come back to. And so, you know, I don't know. It makes me sad. I don't know where this is going. I don't know how you guys are going to feel about it. I know you're going to talk about it, but I hate that if there's no college football this fall. I understand it's going to be tricky and dicey. Baseball has had tons of problems. I don't know what the NFL is going to do. We'll find that out too. But it saddens me to hear that.
It absolutely does. And I mean, that was literally breaking news. I read that tweet just as you were answering the question, so it felt it was timely to bring it up because we're seeing more and more information break just as the day goes on from last night into today. So it is a tough situation, and we're just talking about all aspects of college football and what it could just mean for the country, what it means for these kids, what it means for the economy as well, so many different aspects of it. So we appreciate your thoughts on that, Darren.
Yep, and all those college towns, how about that? You know, I mean,
a lot of businesses in trouble.
Lots of businesses in trouble. That's right.
Mm. Well, Darren, I'm sure you're going to have more thoughts to share coming up later this morning on Darren Donick and Chase. I'm sure, right?
No doubt about it. 4 hours. We'll try to keep it upbeat, but some of this is a little depressing, but we'll keep it on the rails starting at 10 o'clock.
There you go, folks. Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donick and Chase. Coming up very soon, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. here on 102.5 The Game. So up next, we're going to talk more about what's going on, especially that breaking news that just happened out of the Big Ten, and more here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Here's the information I got almost an hour ago. The Big Ten and Pac-12 will cancel their football seasons tomorrow. The ACC and the Big 12 are on the fence. The SEC is trying to get a delay to have teams join them. The SEC is looking at exclusive TV contracts. So once again, then I followed up with my source and I said, so the Big Ten and Pac-12 canceled tomorrow. That's what I'm told this morning. Three Big Ten teams that I've spoken with said it's done. And I followed up by saying, so the SEC might go alone and bring in other schools. That's the latest. They're trying to buy time, according to my source, to see if the ACC or Big 12 will go along with them.
Wow. Welcome back to Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Justin Bradford, Joe Rexrode, Marquise Munson. That is a very fitting bump song for this. SEC looking for renegades. There you have it. Dan Patrick breaking that Big Ten and Pac-12 canceling their seasons tomorrow, apparently. ACC, Big 12 on the fence. The SEC apparently trying to get teams to join them for a season. I mean, we saw Notre Dame apparently joining the ACC. And now we have it where Dan's source is saying 12 of the 14 presidents from the Big Ten, have voted against having a fall college football season. Iowa and Nebraska are the two pushing to play. Can you imagine Iowa and Nebraska in the SEC?
There's some travel.
There's some travel. So it's very, very curious information coming out. And then soon as that breaks, Middle Tennessee announces that they're intending to go play at Army on September 4th or 5th, one of the two. And depending on television, it'd be the first meeting between the two teams. So very curious things going on that we have so many different independent organizations making decisions here.
That's college sports, baby.
That's college sports. And zero unity right now in college sports. You could have mid-major conferences going on, Power 5 not, except for the SEC maybe going on with some other schools from the Power 5. What a day. What a Monday. What a 2020 Monday, Joe.
My goodness. Well, first of all, I do want to address the Dan Patrick thing, and I'm not doubting Dan Patrick, but all reporting as of yesterday was that there was not a vote. So I do wonder if this quote-unquote vote was more of a temperature taking, like how would you vote? Like 12 of us are against two. So in other words, you know, the actual vote is supposed to still take place. Now, in all likelihood, what Dan just reported there is how the vote will come down unless something dramatically changes some president's minds between now and then. And again, there's been a lot of information and anonymously source quoting that have basically said it's happening, it's just a matter of when. So now you have Middle Tennessee. Now, Chris Massaro, Middle Tennessee AD, they have a tweet about this game against Army, like you said, September 4th or 5th. And Massaro's tweet is, should be a great matchup to open the season. Contracts are not completed, but we have agreed that it is our intent to play. So are we looking, Justin, at a fall of NFL football and some group of five mid-major football and no Power 5 football?
That's right now, as it stands on August 10th at 8:50 in the morning. That's what it's looking like.
That's
9:10 a.m. could be completely different right now as we're looking at this. And that is the curious situation. As we've said, it's continuously changing. And it makes me wonder, too, is there going to be some unity in the Power 5 that excludes maybe just the SEC? Because obviously right now, it reminds me of the video games where you have the trades and you have so many phones you can open up that you can talk to for making trades in these video games of the past, like NHL, for instance. You have so many Blackberries that you can have for different teams to reach out to. Blackberry, of all things.
Love Blackberries.
Oh, my gosh. And you know that certain ADs and presidents are obviously talking with other ADs and presidents, not just within their conference, but within other conferences as well, because relationships are made. They know these guys know each other, that there's going to be some sort of unity on an announcement. I would expect that in some form or fashion, whether it's two conferences together, three or four. Obviously, it looks like the SEC is pushing forward with whatever their plan is and wanting to push forward no matter what right now as it stands.
See, so let's – to the fans, this is what I'd like to know. If you're an SEC football fan, first of all, you have to be – now, you may be mad about your team's schedule. I mean, you may be wondering how, like, Alabama gets Missouri and Kentucky added on, for example.
Whoa, come on. Time out now. We're not talking schedules here because that's difficult, man.
Well, hold on.
Out of all the East teams, you're going to give us Missouri? Missouri, the guy, the product of Drew Locke is still – just roaming through
sure.
that campus.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're going to give us Kentucky? Like, man.
Tough stuff.
I wanted Vandy. Like, I wanted Vandy next. But, you know, we couldn't get Vandy because, you know, Vandy's schedule is just, you know, we're just not good enough for Vandy. So Vandy didn't want us. They wanted a tougher schedule. So they said, no Alabama for us. We'll take two other teams. And yeah. So.
You were ready for this. Yeah, you were ready for this. Yeah.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah. I mean, the conspiracy theorists among SEC fans right now, of course, that gets totally overshadowed by the whole idea of the thing getting canceled. But the question I have for fans is, let's say the SEC does push forward. You have conference games and you don't have bad games, but you also don't have a national college football seen. You don't have everyone else playing. So how, what's the enthusiasm level?
To the SEC, I think that is the national college football scene.
Yeah.
Is it not?
Sure.
I mean.
But you want to say you're better than the Big Ten. You want to say you're better than Clemson and the ACC, right?
You want to, but I think they're. I think it's to the point
I
where.
I mean, you will.
Take what you can get. Yeah. That's what a lot of fans are going to be on now. And even then, just the strength of the conference in general, they'll be fine. And they'll declare a national championship and get the license plate made.
but seriously, let's say they play it out. Mm-hmm. And they have an SEC championship game. And they play this season. Everyone else is done. They push through. And then you have an SEC champion. But the things break well with treatments, with the virus going down, with a vaccine, with whatever it is. So that everybody else, they all need to play football. They play in the spring. So now does the SEC take its champion and say, hold tight, I know some of these kids are going to be preparing for the draft, and then you are in the playoff in April when we have a playoff?
Eligibility is going to come, declaring pro.
Oh, yeah.
All that. You're gonna have to, obviously, they're going to have to work with the NFL to say, hey, can you?
The NFL isn't going to, yeah.
Can you hold off a little bit? Yeah, well, Trevor Lawrence didn't play. We know we want him. If he's not playing, we already know where he's going. So, yeah, I'm very curious because now it's all postponed till spring. I mean, heck, even my club hockey conference, we voted to postpone till spring, till January. And that's just a postponement. We don't know. The situation that's based on all the schools, which most of the schools in my college hockey conference are SEC, mixed with some ACC schools, mixed with some Big East schools as well. I mean, we have 17 teams in my conference. And the reason why we voted to postpone is because most of these schools are not allowing their club sports to participate anyways. Money's in the NCAA ones, obviously, but it's for safety reasons, things like that, not allowing travel out of state. Like, some club sports teams can play in state, but then they don't have still anybody else to play because they'd have to travel out of state anyways to play people in their conference.
Right.
So I'm very curious how this is going to take place, that it's all about postponements, and people love the word postpone instead of cancel because it's still giving that glimmer of hope. And I think that's what a lot of this will come down to as well, is are they just going to cancel it, or are they going to say, we're going to try for spring? Because if you say we're going to try for spring, it gives people a glimmer of hope. Say, okay, we can still make this happen. We can still have the kids play. They can still, you know, have a potential future in the NFL and get people to watch them and everything. But if you outright cancel it, then it's just done. You wipe your hands of it. And then what? Do you come back and say, hey, by the way, we're going to try for this? So how much of a string are you going to hold people on with hope?
Yeah. And then, I mean, like you said earlier, I'm already seeing, like, you know, Nebraska and Iowa SEC members. I mean, just all.
They have another schedule release party.
That's right. You're going to have to figure out. I guess they're SEC West members. Does someone else from the West have to become the East now? So many moving parts. But it really is interesting to think of the idea of some of these group of five schools, you know, conferences filling the void, and what kind of increase in exposure, potential revenue is there for you if there is that total vacuum? What kind of appetite is there on the television side if there is that vacuum and certain leagues still push through? I don't know the answer to that, but
I mean, have you seen
– this is the wild, wild west.
And the appetite is Monty Python and the guy that just keeps on eating. That's the appetite, I think, for this. And that's where television is going to have people salivating for this. If fans aren't allowed, but they're still going to get their college football and be able to watch it, and that's the only thing going on at the time, especially for the day, the appetite's going to be there. I mean, yes, ratings have been up and down with some of the other sports going on right now, but college football, I think, is just very different compared with the fan bases.
But we're still talking. We're talking Conference USA college football. Okay, we're talking
also true, but SEC. When I talk SEC,
oh certainly. Oh no, yeah, if that's the case, I'm sorry. Right. I'm talking if we go all Power Five. And another thing here is, and Chase McCabe had a tweet about this last night, and I agreed. You know, if you're the NFL and looking at this right now, you have to be thinking, we can take over some Saturdays here, folks.
Yeah.
With television inventory. And so how does that play into this as well?
Money. Well, money, 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 money. Yeah. Okay. Yes. So we're going to dive more into college football next, because we have Adam Rittenberg of ESPN coming on to join us, because especially with this breaking news happening, we want to dive more into this aspect because it affects so many people and especially the fans as well. So all that up next at the top of the hour here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
L-E-D-E-N-P-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.